This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. I am your host, Aaron Peterson, and I have a little bit of an announcement, I guess. We are moving back to Thursday mornings for a little bit in terms of what day our show comes out. Not forever, but just for the time being. It's a necessary schedule change we had to do for the show, and I hope you guys understand. But since we didn't let you know ahead of time, I wanted to make sure that you guys got something on Tuesday because you had no idea it was coming, you know? We do have a spinoff podcast called Remake This Movie Right. A lot of people have asked what happened to those episodes. Well, they're on a completely different feed. If you like The Hollywood Outsider and you also like Remake This Movie Right, you have to subscribe to both. They're not on the same feed. But since we will not have our regular Hollywood Outsider episode until Thursday this week, or Wednesday night as it is, we're going to go ahead and let you listen to our latest Remake This Movie Right episode. Hopefully, it'll encourage you to go over there and subscribe. You just go into iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen on your podcast app, throw in a Remake This Movie Right, look for it, look for the logo, and subscribe, and there you go. You get a new episode every couple weeks, and it basically takes a movie that is already being remade, and we kind of put our spin on how we would like to remake it. Just to say again, The Hollywood Outsider will be back on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, so you will get a new episode this week. It's just a matter of a schedule change. Until then, I hope this tides you over, and this is a really fun episode of Remake This Movie Right, so I hope you enjoy it, where we take The Mummy and kind of see how we want to do it. Do we keep the Brendan Fraser version, or do we go a completely different way? All right, so I'm going to shut up and go ahead and let you guys enjoy this episode of Remake This Movie Right. In the previous film, we had Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, and Arnold Vosloo starred as the man in gauze. It was a tale about the world's first stalker with a grudge. That's right, this week we take on The Mummy. It is time to remake this movie right. Hello, my fellow cinematic architects, and welcome to Remake This Movie Right. We are a member of the Hollywood Outsider Network. You can listen to episodes of Remake This Movie Right on iTunes, where reviews are appreciated, nay, encouraged, and kind of required. They really help the show out. Please do it. We'll wait. Go ahead. Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up if you do. Throw our RSS feed into your podcast app of choice, or you can just visit the website at RemakeThisMovieRight.com, and you can listen to all the episodes right there. For this episode of Remake This Movie Right, we are remaking The Mummy. The Mummy. Now, that one's a little more complicated because I think it's been remade about 12 times now, but we're gonna do it again. If at the end of this episode you have your own pitch for this remake, a better idea, better casting, better story, you think we're just off the deep end, whatever it is, email it to remakethismovieright@gmail.com. That's remakethismovieright@gmail.com, and we will read your pitches on our next teaser episode. I am your host, Aaron Peterson, and joining me today is Brian Williams from The Hollywood Outsider. Brian, how are you?
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Great.
What? I hear we got a kind of a special guest classing up the joint this week.
We do. We were told, apparently, we need a little more estrogen on our show now and again. So we invited, if you listened to The Hollywood Outsider last year, we had a Women of Horror episode where we invited a couple of ladies to come on and help us talk about horror, and we invited one of them back. The other one didn't get invited, sorry. Amanda Sink, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I think the reason she didn't get invited back was because on that episode, I was the boobs and she was the ass portion.
Yeah.
You have to listen to that episode to get it, though. So go do that.
So go hunt that down because it's already went inappropriate in about 3 seconds flat. Nice job.
Sorry, I was supposed to be the class part of this.
Yeah, well, no, you let that go.
I've been wrong before. It's all right.
If this is your first time listening to Remake This Movie Right, first, apologies. Second, this is a show where we take the original film that has an actual remake in the works, figure out what still clicks, what doesn't, throw a little bit of humor at it, and then determine exactly how Hollywood should remake it. So by the end of each episode, we will have the remake ready to roll for Hollywood execs, and we will present it to you in movie trailer form, voiced by renowned voiceover artist Wayne Henderson. We are here to tell Hollywood how to remake this movie right. The Mummy. Now, The Mummy is from 1999.
Yep.
You remember that? Some people, believe it or not, Brian, you and I were older. You know that there was an older version of this, right? An original version of this?
Yeah, 1932.
Yeah, 1932. Did you know there was before I told you there was?
No,
before you prepared
you told
for this
me,
podcast?
Nope.
Okay. So did you think it just started with the Brendan Fraser version?
I kind of did, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint. It's a classic franchise, and it's known as one of the universal monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, the Mummy, and they're kind of like part of Universal's crypt of monsters. You know, they're the established brands, and that's their Mummy remake. They're trying to, as well as with Dracula Untold, they've got a Frankenstein movie coming out. They're trying to bring back and create another universe, this universe, bring it back again. Make sense?
Yeah. Right. I'm kind of disappointed I didn't know about it before. I love horror movies, and
well, wait.
I liked
if you want to go watch
so.
The old one, so we'll wait. It's yeah? not very long.
All right.
It's black and
I'll
white.
Be right back. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they have a color version of that one just yet. Brian, did you ever watch the original, the Boris Karloff 1932 version?
It's been a long time since I've watched it, but I've watched it a couple of times. Yeah.
Do you think it holds up?
A lot of shadows. A lot
yeah,
of shadows.
A lot of, yeah. I mean, it's really slow because it's got a mummy and he's basically just with his arms out a lot. There you go. There's a movie. Chasing his former love.
Yeah.
Former love. But because the most recent version is 1999, that's the one we're going to go with when we give you our little tidbits. We always like to give little trivia facts of the original movie. So we're going to give you some trivia bits from both of them, mostly from the 1999 version. It was directed by Stephen Sommers. It made $155 million in the U.S. and $415 million globally. It was a huge hit. Huge hit. I mean, so big a hit that Universal called Stephen Sommers, I believe it was, the next day after opening and said, we need another one. They wanted a sequel
the
next day.
They always say that when it makes some money.
Yeah, when it makes money. Nobody called Josh. Nobody called Josh Trank about Fantastic Four. I can promise you that. First, the story was about Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz were a foreign legion soldier and a librarian who accidentally awaken Imhotep, an Egyptian mummy who then delivers a bunch of deadly plagues to the lands. And then they had a sequel, which had really bad, crappy The Rock special effects and was a fun movie up until the last 15 minutes where you just were really sad about special effects in general. Some fun facts. For the Boris Karloff version, it had no action. It was all horror, 1932, but essentially the same plot as Imhotep stalked a woman he believed to be his reincarnated love. So they kind of carried that storyline over. Everything else was different. The character name...
I tried that line one time, and it didn't go over too well.
You remind me of when I was alive, yeah, 300 years ago.
We're reincarnated. I swear we're meant to be.
Did you get a restraining order after that?
Or during?
Or during.
Just a little bit of jail time. But,
no
you know,
big deal. Brush off your shoulders.
It all worked out in the end.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back with us, by the way. People were wondering where Brian was for a couple episodes. That's where it was. The character name Imhotep was taken from an actual ancient Egyptian. But the real Imhotep was the architect who designed the pyramids and, far from being executed in disgrace, was the only Egyptian other than the pharaohs who was made a god after his death. So he was actually a good guy.
Yeah.
Not in the movie. He was the...
jerk.
Yeah, Arnold Vosloo. The 1932 film's poster holds the record for the most money paid for a movie poster at auction. More than $450,000.
No joke.
I'm not making
this
up.
Seriously? Wow.
I mean, IMDb might be making it up, but I'm not making it up.
Wow.
Here's one that Brian will appreciate. The white nightgown that Evelyn wore when the ship was attacked became transparent when it got wet, so they had to digitally paint it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they couldn't keep their PG-13 rating. That means, like you were saying earlier, Amanda, boobs. That's what that means. Some other fun tidbits. Brendan Fraser passed out while filming because the noose around his neck got too tight in that hanging scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that seems like a bad plan.
That happened to David Carradine, too, didn't it?
Oh, Brian.
Oh, too soon?
You just went for the asphyxiation joke. I respect it. I thought this was funny. The locusts shown in the scene at the Hymenoptera were mostly computer-generated, but a number of live grasshoppers were used for the shot. They were chilled in a refrigerator to make them more sluggish and easy to film.
That's disgusting. They
threw grasshoppers in the fridge. That's fantastic. And this was the first theatrical film to be broadcast on the WB television network. There's your last fact.
Aw.
Really? That's the one you went awe over?
I mean.
That's just sad. That's what that is.
I'm kind of sad that it was on the WB other than other channels, but okay. It was like an aw. Maybe I should have redone my tone.
Well, let's talk. No, it's too late. You committed to your obvious obsession with the WB network.
That's it. Nailed it.
Let's talk about the original and what still works. Now, Mandy, you're a horror fan. There are horror elements, but it is more of like an action adventure, I would say.
Definitely. It's got some good comedy in it, too.
So what, when you rewatched it, what still works for you? What about that movie still works today?
Definitely the comedy, like I pointed out. I have a couple different examples that I remembered specifically that I just, even though it was in 1999, it's still just as funny to me. Now was the first time I saw the movie. Mm-hmm. When they're on that boat and they have to hurry up and get off because they're getting attacked, and he just drops Rachel Weisz in the water, like, oh, get ready, here you go, and just throws her in the ocean, here you go.
As it should be.
Obviously, there's just different things, like the brother John, he pretends to chant along Imhotep. Mm-hmm. I keep saying emo.
I'm sure, like, I'm getting it wrong, too. He's like Spider-Man 3. He's got that long hair. He does a little dance. He's very sad and angry.
But just different things like that. The action still worked for me. The effects I thought weren't too bad from being 1999, except for the big storm that ends up happening where there's fire coming from the sky. It wasn't very believable. But otherwise, I think it still holds up just as well.
In the sky, which...
There's like fire coming in the sky. It's like fireballs. It's like fireballs coming around.
There's fireballs?
Yeah. It starts off as a thunderstorm, and then there's just random fireballs that come, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yes, I remember that a little bit. I really like in terms of the 1999 version, I like that they basically took the same story, the basic story, and they made it a really fun movie. I mean, I like the original. The original was very much, it's very slow moving, but it is a horror piece and that sort of thing. The modern one was so much more fun. You've got comedy, you got action, you got Brendan Fraser was a blast. I was shocked that Encino Man could be that much fun. And Rachel Weisz, I thought, because that was the first time I had ever seen her, she was gorgeous and charming and her voice was fantastic. So I was kind of in love. I was smitten. Smitten's the word.
She was gorgeous, but they still had, taking the librarian role, you expect them to be very nerdy and reserved and stereotypical and innocent. She still had that innocent characteristic to her, but she was still very attractive and she held her own pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. Yeah. For me, Brendan Fraser still works. He's kind of like a bumbling poor man's Indiana Jones. And he was one of the main things. He really carries the movie. And because the special, I'll get into that a little bit later. But for the most part, for me, the basic story still works, and performance by Brendan Fraser.
Do you think this is a better move to get away from the horror elements and have more comedy, action, romance, suspense? Either one of you?
I do.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, I didn't see the original, but...
Yeah, so that probably helps.
But just thinking about I'm sure both ideas work, but... I think that with the horror idea, I feel like it could get kind of bland. This brings a whole lot more into it, and it kind of gives you a little bit for everybody. So people who are into action can have the action. People who want comedy can have comedy. People who want thriller can kind of get a little bit of thriller with the bugs around.
Bugs. Oh, man. Yeah. Michael Jackson popped up. I don't know why, but he just...
They all do the dance.
Oh, that would be pretty great, actually. Okay, I'm kind of with you guys. For me, I was actually surprised how well it holds up when I rewatched it. I thought for sure it'll look dated, it's not going to... But no, man, it looks great. Because they shot it as more of a period piece, I think that actually helps it hold up, kind of like in how Indiana Jones still holds up to this day. It works. It really works. And I was really surprised how much it... Because I didn't see the original Mummy until actually after I saw this one. I know it's sad, being that, you know, I'm old. But I had never really seen the original Mummy. And then after this one came out, I went and watched the old one. And I didn't realize how much of the story they actually incorporated. The plagues weren't part of the original because, you know, how are they going to do that? They'd have to throw a box of locusts at people. So it's not like they had special effects back in the day. But they incorporated a lot of the story. They kept a lot of the elements. They actually paid a lot more homage to the original than I thought they had. And it worked out really well. Worked out really well. What doesn't work? Brian, what for you doesn't work anymore? Like when you rewatch it, you're like, whoa, that doesn't hold up.
Well, there some of the effects that just don't hold up anymore. We were kind of at an early age of some advanced CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was fantastic. But now, it's just not so much anymore. And yeah. But it wouldn't take much. If they were to like remaster it or something, they could definitely clean some of that stuff up. But some of the stuff was just a little bit like, I hate to use the word zombie, but the kind of half decayed look and stuff just looked a little bit too hokey.
It did. It looked like a video game. Like the actual mummy looked like a video game. I was really excited when he just became a dude, because at least the dude looked like a dude.
Right.
As opposed to, all right, I'm going to push X, then A, then B, and then, it just felt like a video game the whole time.
Yeah, this looks like a neat cutscene from a from a video game.
From a Dying Light. It's a zombie game or something, yeah.
Right.
So here we come to the big question before we move on to our actual remake. Should this one be remade for today's audiences? Does it need to be updated, or is it in don't touch status, which means it's so classic, leave it alone? Amanda? What do you think?
It's definitely not in the don't touch it for me.
Blasphemy.
I think it's good and everything, but I think that...
You don't have to defend your opinion.
Well,
if you don't understand the brilliance that is whatever Kevin O'Connor or Rick O'Connell and...
Rick O'Connell.
Yeah, I don't even remember their names. So, yeah.
And her name is like...
Because it's such a classic.
I think that if they remastered it right... basically what Brian was just talking about, if they remastered it right, then it would be fine. I think it would turn out great if they kept the story the same, didn't move too much from that. They just kind of cleaned it up, made it look more modern, but not get too far away from the old Egyptian look. It was basically, to me, it looks like an Egyptian Indiana Jones.
Very, very, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Brian, what about you?
No, there's definitely room to redo it. I kind of agree with Amanda. It was entertaining and I like it a lot, and even enjoyed it, rewatching it. It doesn't hold a lot, whole lot of nostalgic, sentimental weight with me. So definitely think it's in the redo bin.
All right. So we have come to, in terms of the nostalgic moments, which we always do, kind of to determine how many nostalgic moments do we want in our remake based on how classic we see the film, between 1 and 5, 5 being the most classic. And we all came to a conclusion that 3 is the number we're going with. 3 nostalgic moments in our movie. Cause it's kind of, well, apparently it's not classic. I can't remember the characters' names. So number 1, got to have a slow mummy walk. That applies to both of them. You got to have that kind of shuffling walk at some point, whether it be, we'll figure out where at some point as we go. Got to have scarabs. Those are those little, what'd you call them, Brian? Gross. Ancient roaches.
Yeah, I mean, they're beetles, basically, but it's about the ancient Egypt equivalent of a bunch of roaches crawling all over you.
Yeah, so. There we go. And we also got to have the mummy roar. Roar! You got to have that mummy roar from the 99 version. Yeah, that was a big find, apparently, for some of us. Not all of us, and that means not me. All right, so our remake. Before we do our remake, we remake this movie right. Let's say about what the remake that we do know. Let's talk about the one that actually is being made, what we do know about it. Supposedly it is returning more to its horror roots. Alex Kurtzman is directing for a March 2017 release. The script will be written by John Spates, and here is the rumored synopsis of the opening. This is a rumor of what the opening is supposed to be. You ready, guys?
Ready.
It's so exciting.
Bring it. Bring it.
The story, and this is a rumor. Don't hold me to it. There's no contracts involved. The story follows Navy SEAL Tyler Colt. Tyler Colt. Let that sink in. That manly. That manly.
We're not off to a good start.
And his mission in the Iraqi desert to find a group of terrorists hiding out in a bunker. To his and his team's surprise, the terrorists within the bunker turn out to be nothing more than some grave robbers who have all magically died. Upon entering the bunker, Tyler and his team also succumb to some mystical forces out of their control. They soon realize the bunker they have infiltrated is actually a centuries-old tomb. SEAL members start turning on one another and are captivated by the forces within the tomb. Tyler is the only one to make it all the way deep within the tomb alive, to find a black iron sarcophagus. Teller is entreated by the forces to open the sarcophagus and realizes what is inside, but after placing his hand on the sarcophagus, he is immediately stabbed in the palm with a star-shaped symbol. From then on, Teller's mind is cursed with visions of the king of Assyria, the mummy. That, if that is the case, if that is true, sounds awful.
Is Michael Bay the director? Because I feel like he is the director.
He should be at some point. Yes.
I don't know. There's not many explosions you can make inside of a.
He would make them.
Oh, that
he would find them.
That mummy tomb would just go boom.
Basically, everywhere they step would be just like a hidden mine.
Yeah,
explosion.
There you go. There'd be little hidden mines all over the mummy tomb. I think that sounds horrible. But let's remake that.
Since I thought we were like recapping Three Kings up until
like George Clooney comes out of the tomb.
Right, up until about halfway through the description there, the synopsis. I thought we were talking about Three Kings.
So. I'm really hoping that's wrong, because if that's actually correct, you got time. Cut that out. Make a different movie. Listen to ours. Ours is hopefully going to be better. Since The Mummy is getting their remake and no one listens to us anyway, how should they remake it? Now, from this point forward, remember, each one of us gets a cut. At any point, you don't like what we're talking about or agreeing on, you just like, I'm done with this. Cut. And we have to follow whatever ridiculous thing you come up with. You understand, Amanda? It's your first time on the show. You understand?
I think I understand.
Okay. It's basically a veto, as you explained to me. Mm-hmm. Veto power. Who's got the first idea? How do we want to start our mummy movie?
I've got a couple, but...
You got a couple.
I've got a couple different ideas.
Let them rip. Come on. Free flow. Let's hear it.
Well, mostly just I have the...
That's a dumb idea. Cut.
Yeah. Get out. You're done.
Well, your cut's used up. Yeah. Basically, I just have the character of Rick, who's the main guy that was played by Brendan Fraser in The First Mummy. I personally would like to see Nathan Fillion fill this role.
Well, you're already throwing actors in it. Slow down. Let's have a movie first.
I'm helping you get there. I'm the casting.
Well, right now, Nathan Fillion's about 300 pounds. What's he going to do?
We'll put him on a diet. This is a Navy SEAL movie. He can get his butt moving.
No, this is our movie is not that movie. That is not our movie.
No, it's not. It's not an elephant SEAL movie. It's a Navy SEAL.
Oh, wow. What are your ideas for, what do you want to do with that character?
I just want to see Nathan Fillion fill the role.
Okay,
I
mean, so that's really all you have.
I literally got that far.
Brian, what ideas do you have for Emily? Hers are really, really limited.
All right, well, you know, there's some potential. There's some potential there, but I'm going to twist this up a little bit.
Okay,
I'm going in the future. We're talking overcrowded, overpopulated, dark, rainy. Think like. The environment in Blade Runner, maybe Dark City. I mean, just this overpopulated, dark, depressing area.
Well, this sounds like a great movie so far.
Should we go back to the Navy SEALs or the elephant SEALs?
I'm kind of liking Michael Bay's take on this.
You've got a guy, you got some whatever, some normal guy, whatever, Rick, the Rick guy. Whatever.
The Rick guy.
So, Tyler Colt or whatever his name is.
No, let's go with Rick. Rick is better. Trust me. Rick O'Connell is better than Tyler. Tyler Colt. What a stupid... God, that's a movie name. Such a movie name.
Such a Hollywood name.
Yeah.
He's a normal guy. He's somewhat of a normal guy anyway. He's some kind of a service worker. He kind of works maybe like down in the sewers, something underground, and he breaks something. He opens the wrong manhole cover. He kicks down breaks the wrong wall or door, something like that. Anyway, he stumbles across this whatever, something that this sarcophagus or something. He all of a sudden it kind of opens it up to he unleashes this this Imhotep character somehow.
Hang on, Amanda has a question here. She's raising her hand. What's your question?
I feel like we're just doing a whole lot of like we're going into the future, so we're like incorporating like a whole lot of different things. But then we're I feel okay
we're not gonna just yet. We're just hearing him out. Let's right. Set up. I'm, he's pitching his idea.
I've got this to set up something else.
Okay. Well, all right, why don't you finish your thoughts?
So basically what it is he unleashes this thing, which come to find out this whole depressing futuristic megalopolis environment that they live in is actually built on top of ancient Egypt. And he just found, you know, basically this ancient demon, mummy, whatever the case is. And he unleashes these 10 plagues, these natural disasters, so to speak. And so you got this natural disasters versus futuristic technology type stuff going on. And of course they try to, you know, solve it with all that. Following me at all?
I am following you. The futuristic idea isn't really working for me, I don't think. I'm trying to envision it, but I think future has been done to death, and I don't know. Every time you try to, I think they've tried to modernize these kind of films, I always feel like they just don't work. So it always makes me nervous.
But the problem with setting them in the 20s or 30s or 40s, they all kind of feel like Indiana Jones again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of that was kind of my thought was like,
is getting away from a lot of these moves.
Yeah, a lot of these moves, they just kind of feel like they're rehashing Indiana Jones and stuff and something like,
well,
I even thought about like a Stargate type.
Or Firefly.
Oh, Mike, you really got to let's go.
And he just, they happen to go to Egypt and then they run into these, you know, we got it. Nathan Fillion, Firefly.
No. Okay, let's let that go for now.
Well, you can come back to it
later because right now you're sounding very sad, and I'm still going to feel bad for you. Okay, before we...
What have you got?
Before we do that, let's decide on a tone. Do we want to continue with the, not necessarily in the same time frame, but the adventuristic, the mesh of comedy, horror, and action that the recent Mummy films had, or do we go more toward the horror of the 1932 film, or do we do something different? Let's decide on a tone first.
Well, I say we probably maybe throw out the 1930 horror because it doesn't sound like Brian wants to go back. And
we can still have a different tone. I'm saying ignore the time frame.
Okay.
Just in terms of like what
just
kind
genre
of movie do you guys think we should
Are you
be
looking
doing?
To scare the pants off of somebody? Or are you looking to have an adventure thriller with maybe,
right,
you know,
right,
or, you know, with varying levels of comedy, whatever?
I am... in the camp of, I think the Mummy films were great for what they were, but I don't see the need to remake those exact films at all. So I think, you know, I'm okay with modernizing it, maybe going sometime in the future. I don't want like Minority Report future, like, you know, which is sounds
let's avoid
like
that.
And I definitely do not want a post-apocalyptic world because those are so exhausted. I want the tone, me personally, want the tone to be more along the lines of, I want it to be a horrific elements. Has some adventure to it, you know, where there's definitely some, not necessarily action beats, but movement, some minor set pieces, and just little bits of comedy, like more like comedy relief, not comedy. You know, we're just little bits, kind of like how Brendan Fraser did deliver it. His character was, where he's a very serious character, but he would have little asides or do funny things, like throwing her in the water was a little aside. You know, it's not quite Screwball, but there's little moments of levity.
And also the cat thing. I laughed at the cat thing.
All right, and the cat thing. I'm fine with, you know, shoot a cat. Do whatever you got to do to a cat. I'm fine with that. I don't want cats.
Well, I don't think that's it. He just held it up and he freaked out.
Well, what do you guys think in terms of tone? Do you want the more horrific elements? Do you want action, more comedy? Do you want the blend? What do you want? That's how I want it. I want a more...
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, horror goes, I mean, I would prefer a horror movie.
Okay.
That being said, in this day and age, is going to be extremely difficult to pull off.
Because it's not going to make as much money.
And it's not going to be scary. let's face it.
It won't be. The Mummy, at least in the 1932 version, was very, very slow.
Yeah. And we've got so many slow walking things that want to kill you going on nowadays anyway. So that would just be weak sauce, basically.
I think if we can make it happen right, then it would be fine. But it's just a lot of the audience now for horror movies looks for the things that are popping out at you all the time, making you jump, not like hidden things, which I feel like the Mummy would probably have more hidden, more subtle scares.
Unnerving. It would
right,
make you unnerved.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that. Our movie's perfect. So that's what
our
we
movie's
can go
with. I mean...
We want to go with an unnerving movie that also maybe has a few more not necessarily action beats, but quicker. There's some movement. There's some stuff going on. It's not just, hey, look at that mummy. He's coming at you. Well, we got time because, you know.
Like I say, I'm going to cook this meal real quick. Hang on. I need my carbs. Yeah. So
you want carbs for the run I'm about to ensue.
Right.
Okay, so let's go back to Brian. I just wanted to kind of get an idea where everybody was in tone. Sure. I think we're kind of on the same page now. So, Brian, you're futuristic metropolis. So where are they? What's your idea? Where are they going to be at? Where are they coming across this? I assume it's still got to be Egypt because there weren't many pharaohs buried here in the States.
Yeah, and right. What they call Megalopolis. It's basically like a giant city that connects San Francisco and Los Angeles or Atlanta and Washington, D.C.
But it's in Chicago, Egypt.
But Chicago and Dallas, you know, that, I mean, they're just that huge. So that's the type of environment that we're talking about. So whatever connecting whatever areas in that North Africa, Middle East area that you want to do it. And again, all this stuff is just built on top of all these dunes, however you want to explain it. And you don't even have to spend a whole lot of time in this, but it's, you know, but it's, and I guess that would be kind of like the twist maybe midway through or later on in the movie that you find out
the city.
Yeah, that it's all built on this. Oh, crap. This is actually ancient Egypt that we're talking about here. And then
I can see
I
that.
I don't know. Maybe because of his Imhotep's powers, or he releases some sort of energy that maybe gives him power or something. It kind of changes that environment to where it resembles more of ancient Egypt. And you kind of get that deserty pyramid type feel.
How futuristic are you thinking? Are you
Well, I mean, if you're talking about a giant city that covers what we know as countries right now, I mean, we're talking a little bit far down the road. So
10, 15 years,
something yeah, like couple, that. A couple weeks. I don't know.
It should be there by the end of the spring. Yeah. They're building it right now. Okay. So basically you've got this mega city that's built over the ancient area, ancient tombs and whatnot. And they stumbles across a tomb that releases Imhotep. How do we release him this time? Because he's been released a couple of different ways. And the first time was with this, you know, the goofy key. And then, of course, Rachel Weisz completely does it. She screws everybody. She kills hundreds. I don't even know if people realize that. But because Evie, you know, couldn't shut up, she ended up reading those words.
And she's like, oh, here's a book. Let me just read everything on here. Everything. That a locked book that's been hidden for.
And nobody really says to her, you just killed everyone.
No, she gets to make out with Brandon Fraser. Yeah. So that's what she gets out of it.
I definitely don't want that in our movie because that really bugs me. So how do we release the mummy? I mean, we don't want to. I don't think we want our character to do something stupid, right? Or how do we get the mummy out of there?
Let's try and avoid stupid.
Yeah, let's just try to avoid. It's our movie.
Do we want accidental? I mean, obviously, I guess it's accidental. You know, they.
How are we going to expose what's underneath? That's where we need to start.
How about something along? Let's just keep it simple, so it can. It's just something along the lines of how the tomb is opened. That I don't know. It awakens. Maybe.
Again, I kind of envision the guy being some sort of worker. You know, he's a sewer worker. He's a underground,
okay,
subway track repairer type of thing or something. And he's got some heavy machinery, and he swings the wrecking doozy floozy too hard to the right, and it knocks down a wall, which exposes some, you know, hey, curiosity things. Floozy. And his, you know, his dad, who's played by Nathan Fillion, is.
Yes.
Is some archaeologist that's a crackpot archaeologist who's always, you know, giving him stories of ancient Egypt and all this other stuff. And so he kind of sees some things that raises that curiosity, and he starts exploring and going, oh, what's this? What's that? Whatever. And opens up what he thinks is a trunk or something, and comes to find out it's a sarcophagus, and boom. And there
boom,
comes,
he opens it. Yeah. Sure.
All right, then. So gets it open and okay. So accidentally, the curse is unleashed.
Underground okay. worker.
Yeah, with the Nathan Fillion dad. We got it. The curse is unleashed. How does this mummy take out things? I mean, are we gonna go with the same storyline where there's a woman that he sees as reincarnated love, or do we go with a different story? What is his motivation for wanting to kill everybody in the world, or kill people in particular?
It could be a revenge thing.
Yeah.
Just wakes up angry as opposed to having this love interest thing?
Well, if we continue with the whole curse thing, if he was cursed to be stuck down there and until somebody
gets
him.
Well, we can create any curse we want. So the curse can be whatever. He's just cursed to be down there forever.
What if there's some ancient script or something like that? He misinterprets it. And he thinks he's going to gain superpowers, so he's going to be whatever their world's version of Superman is. And instead, it's like...
That's a leap.
I think he just means more of like a... You mean more of like a king, like a ruler? Or do you mean a superhero with like magical powers?
Like he really thinks he's going to get superpowers from reading something?
Or are you inferring that he would be a ruler?
Pretty much yes to all of that. You know, he's got enough... He's got enough learning from his dad growing up and everything that, there's these mystical powers. So he just thinks he's going to be somebody different than what he's always, than what he's pretty much
destined
to be.
He's going to be somebody.
So he thinks this could actually make him special.
Right.
Right.
And that's when he unleashes everything.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's Pandora's box, basically. I mean, he's just... open up a world of shit.
And back to my original question then. So what is Imhotep's reasoning? What's his rationale? What does he want to do? What is his goal, his motivation? Like once he brings him back, what does he want to do? Does he want to regain his previous form?
Maybe
does he want to conquer the world? Does he want to reclaim a love? What do we want to go with?
Maybe
here?
There's a whole lot of coincidence, if you will, between... The worker who ends up finding this thing and releases Imhotep.
If you say Nathan Fillion one more time.
I'm not. But let's say that it goes back through the family line that whoever put this wrongful curse on him and got him stuck in Pandora's box was actually a family member of the kid who ended up opening Pandora's box. So he wanted to get revenge, and he wanted to get revenge on the person and family of... Even the person who let him out, actually, even though he didn't know that he was going to be releasing the wrong thing.
So he basically punishes the person that released him by going
the
after...
Whole family.
The whole family.
Because... Nathan Fillion included.
Because he awoke him from his eternal slumber kind of thing?
Well, because his family, back down the family line way years ago, they're the ones who put this wrongful curse on him.
That's why you said coincidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they put this wrong curse on him. Like, let's say he was, he was sleeping with somebody's wife or something. I don't know what he was doing. Probably
something bad.
Something bad, but not bad enough to get a terrible curse put on him for no reason. Just kind of like a wrongful curse, and he wanted to get revenge because he's stuck in this little box or whatever.
So does he start taking all of his families out one by one? It's not like
he's taking his time.
So he doesn't do it like he did in the 1999 Mummy, where it's all plagues and everything else. It's much more methodical. Like we decided, our movie's going to be a little slower, a little bit more unnerving. Okay. Brian, what do you think about that? Do you like that idea that basically the mummy goes for his entire family one by one by one?
Yeah, I'm down with that. It's basically, look, I can't get revenge on the people that actually did this to me, so it sucks to be you right now.
But thanks for letting me out. Say bye to your cat. Oh, there's the cat.
Say bye to your cat. Oh, kill the poor cat.
Oh. Just kidding. Let's not kill the
cat.
No,
I'm fine with that. I hate cats.
No dogs, though.
No, dogs have to live. I've said kill dogs before in this podcast. I can't kill dog every movie. That would make me a little sadistic. Cats I'm cool with. Every movie.
Or Michael Vick.
Or Michael Vick.
Or Michael Vick.
Either one. Okay, so how does the mummy actually kill people? Or, what does he do? Does he do the slow walk Jason Voorhees thing where it just takes him forever to get there, or what? Because, we're not doing the plagues and that sort of thing. So how is the mummy going to avenge or revenge?
Well,
are they going to kill him? Is he going to slowly walk up on him like Jason Voorhees and take forever? And they're going to go to one of these Metropolis parks and basically they're going to run and he's going to take a shortcut because he knows the shortcut.
Well, what if maybe the kid who ended up releasing him thought he was going to get the superpowers that the guy actually had? And let's say
so the mummy has kind of powers.
Well, not, I don't want to say superpowers like, oh, I'm going to soar through the sky.
It sounds like a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this.
But yeah. What if he can manipulate Earth or something? Like in the 1991, he's able to manipulate the sand in Egypt and affect people that way. So what if he can still do that? So he can just manifest himself into another object.
Mm. Well, there is a certain supernatural element to this, mm-hmm. because I mean we're talking many thousands of years after he's dead that he's still he's brought back.
Yeah, that seems supernatural.
It's like a mystical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not out of the realm of this possibility that he has some sort of other talents, if you will. We talked about having the scarabs. You know, at one point maybe a family member is sitting there reading a magazine at night or something, and all of a sudden all these scarabs, you know, it's one of the first family members to fall victim, so to speak.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I like it.
You know, they're sitting there and they you hear the click, 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 click. You see one of them, and then all of a sudden it's they're just overwhelmed. You know?
I actually like it better when it was just the one or two and that one guy where, like, he had them all over his body. I like that a lot mm-hmm. more than the thousand ancient roaches that ate the body as they ran over the stairwell. Mm-hmm. I liked it better when he was like all up in, because that's
like
really
it was
creepy.
In his body.
It was in his skin.
It was so gross.
That's creepy to me. That yep. reminds me of like Creepshow and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing I want.
Blech.
Yeah, bleh. But you were like,
bleh. You see the little antenna come out of his mouth or something.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want some Creepshow stuff.
You just see one of the eyeballs suck into like the back of his head, and then a scarab comes out of it.
How about
too much?
No, I like. How about we incorporate some of the 99 version as well, where slowly but surely the mummy is taking pieces of the victims to reestablish the mummy's face, like an eyes from a victim, a nose from a victim. Teeth from grandma, whatever.
Or what about
like grandma's dentures?
Instead of rebuilding, you know, like the stronger, you know, with the stronger he got, the more complete person he became. Mm-hmm. What if his environment, instead of him changing, he basically is turning in this futuristic, rainy, dreary city, basically turning, it's just this growing, desolate desert. Wasteland.
So basically, he can, like,
he's basically
taking away the
it
cities
back into Egypt.
Okay, so he's
well. Hang on, I gotta understand how this works. Don't just say okay, because right now this I'm not. First he was Superman, now he's making deserts in the park. What's going on? I'm confused.
It's just part of whatever his it's this energy or midichlorians or whatever it is that's giving him these powers.
So basically, he wants to be able to go back to how it was before. So he was whoever the hell he was.
He hates technology. Before. He hates the way
he's,
the world
is. He's a fish out of water. He's got even as powerful as he is, he's got no he can't live in this.
Let's say he can't, you know, he can't manifest or change technology. He's only able, he's stuck with changing
like
only
that.
The earth.
I like that. That's yeah, good. Yeah. That makes sense.
But he can still swallow these cities, these buildings
right.
and whatever.
So as
right.
the more power he gets, the more he can demolish
them. Which then gets him stronger.
Exactly. As his power grows, this desert, whatever, you know,
comes
this wasteland kind of grows with him. And, you know, and of course we can kind of focus on the family and stuff, but of course they're to grow and to make it even bigger. Of course, other people are going to have to die too. That's just, you know, how it is.
Right.
Plus well, yeah, with a megalopolis looking, whatever it's called. You're going to have a lot of collateral damage.
We just if we're sticking.
That sounds
like
a Jurassic Park tour.
It does, but it's an actual term. I'm telling you.
Let's go check out the megalopolis.
It is a real thing. As if we're doing horror, though, we have to make sure that we have a lot of like I don't know, just a lot of creepy shit going on.
Yeah,
I don't want definitely. It. I don't want it to just be like a.
A special effects
day,
opus.
The, like, what is that? Day After Tomorrow or whatever, where the whole...
Oh, it just turns into a disaster
yeah,
movie at the
I
end?
Don't want a disaster movie.
No, you want it to be like just little by little.
Yeah,
and then we
creepy.
See the effects, but really the mummy's main goal is very simplistic and small. But as his power grows, you see the effects of
right.
his power growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. And keep the whole love interest thing out of it.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Brian, you down with that?
Totally. I am totally on board with that. There's going to be enough going on with this.
We don't need to add a love interest.
I don't think we need it. I don't think we need it. If maybe by the end of it, there's a little wink or a smile that you might hope they get together, if there's even anybody together at the end.
Yeah, let's just leave it at hope. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys got asked to have more estrogen on the show, which probably these people were like, yeah, love. And I'm like, no.
No, I don't think so. I think we actually probably had more. We've had women interjected in altered roles that were originally men. We made them women. And
all right.
So I think I just wanted a female voice. So
gotcha. Okay.
If you just want to act like a dude, that's cool. Like, just scratch yourself and spit.
Yeah.
That's really all you got to do. That's
I'm
all.
Not into either of that. So
we are. We're good. We'll make up the difference. Yep. Yeah.
As long as you don't scratch me and spit on me, that's, you know, we're good.
Unless he requests it. So the mummy, back to the mummy. That's the one thing I didn't like about I never liked in either movie the whole trying to find his lost love. I just thought it felt forced in both movies.
If I feel like there was too much love going on because he's trying to find his old love and then Brandon Fraser and Rachel
We understand why Brandon Fraser's in love because she is adorable.
But there's too much going on. Yeah. There's too many different. No.
That's right.
I mean, it helps with the story because she, you know, is resembling this mm-hmm. lost love, whatever. But it's been done too many times. Love is always the thing. Let's just keep love out of it.
I like the way you think. More estrogen, indeed. Yeah.
That just rings true through so many different levels, even outside of this movie.
You just took it to a whole new truth. All right. Our characters. We took a break, and we came back, and now we have who our actors are going to be. In terms of Nathan Fillion, because apparently he has to have a fit somewhere, he's going to be one of the random family members that dies sporadically. And also,
he gets a cool death.
But. Yeah, and we did this off air just to make it a little easy, so it's less fumbling for you guys. And Jamie Lee Curtis somehow is going to be a cameo, probably a dead grandma, is what we're thinking.
Just she because. Can be married to Nathan.
That doesn't seem. I guess he likes older ladies. She is still attractive. I mean,
whatever
she's pretty attractive.
Vote.
Well, that's what happens when you eat too many Oreos. You end up going a little older. Our hero is played by Ian Somerhalder from Vampire Diaries, which we actually had to look up and we all agree he looks the part. And you know, he's like 37, 38 years old.
I hate him. He's actually if you look outside of Vampire Diaries, because a lot of people are going to be very judgmental of the show.
Oh, yeah. There's somebody
CW.
Screaming at this podcast right yeah, now. Yeah. Like, really? The CW's where you guys pick your talent? What kind of movie is this?
It's better than, I don't know, Zac Efron.
I guarantee you it's better than Arnold Vosloo. He's not a great actor, by the way.
But if you actually watch the show or if you see him in other things, he was in Lost. He's a good actor.
He
can pull off many different styles.
He can. So. Give the guy a chance. This is his breakout role.
Yeah.
This is his breakout
role. It almost sounds like Amanda believes that.
It does. I do. I like him a lot as an actor.
For our mummy, as he finally pieces him and he starts to look more human, because we're going as much practical effects as we can, right, Brian? We agree with that?
Absolutely.
Try to keep as much practical effect in this as we can. Right. Joe, please say his name, because all I say is Manganiello.
Manganiello?
I don't even know if he can say his own name, but he's in Magic Mike.
Joe Alphabet.
Joe Alphabet. He was in True Blood. You know who he is. He's dating Sofia Vergara. He's a really built, ripped dude. So he's very physically imposing. He also can actually carry himself. He's got some depth. I think this would be good. And he's still better than Arnold Vosloo. I like Arnold. Come on, you're great in 24, but it's not like the mummy took a whole lot out of you. You know what I'm saying? I think we got a great movie here, man. What do you guys think?
I like it. I'm down for it.
I like it. It sounds better than the synopsis
that's actually coming out.
Read earlier.
Oh, yeah. And I wasn't on board at first because Brian started rambling off his megatropolis, whatever. What's the word you used? What's the word you totally made up on the spot?
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. He swears this is a real thing. I've never heard of this. I've never heard of this. We got everything else. We don't have a director. Who's going to direct our masterpiece?
Before we got onto the horror thing, I had thought of Steven Spielberg just because I really like his work.
You went generic, Amanda.
I did.
Think outside the box here. But Brian, think of somebody crazy.
Crazy is a great word for my idea. Because
if you say Tarantino,
this guy,
I'm going to love
I actually
it.
Was thinking that after we started the horror
Tarantino
thing.
Tarantino would, no. We did that for Tomb Raider. That's already crazy.
But my guy is he's known more for comedy, but he's definitely known for some twisted type stuff also, mm-hmm. if not necessarily scary. Terry Gilliam.
Whoa. Woo.
He's got experience with the futuristic
man,
stuff.
But you know he can't tell a movie like straight to save his life.
No. Give me a better director's idea, but he's on board for like some sort of creative development producer, whatever. He's set design, I don't know.
I've got a great idea, actually. I've got a great director, but you know, if you're
still, who is it?
Joel Edgerton. Joel Edgerton, he's an actor. Ooh. Everybody knows him as an actor. Yeah. He's done a lot of stuff. And I know, Brian, you know him as an actor. He was in The Gift. Remember The Gift?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also directed The Gift and wrote The Gift. And I think he's got an eye for detail. He takes his time with the shots. He's very good with methodical. I think he's the guy for this type of movie. I mean, we're not doing a big special effects opus. I think Terry Gilliam would be interesting, but he would also would just go off the deep end, man, because his movie.
He would. And what I mentioned earlier about use as many practical effects as possible, he would probably steer away from that somewhat. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
You liked it? Did you like The Gift, Amanda? You saw The Gift, right?
It was all right.
Don't say all right. Say you love my idea.
It was predictable, but you seem pretty convinced in your ideas.
So. Well, hey, it's our studio, so let's,
no, I'm
if you want to powwow.
I got Nathan Fillion in. I'm done. And Ian Somerhalder.
she's like, I can.
My work here is done.
Yeah, I got my CW movie.
It's a win for me, no matter what. So you direct whoever you want to direct.
Okay, are we good with Edgerton then? Is that
we'll
good?
Take it.
I'm down with it.
All right. Well, let's hear our final pitch. Wayne Henderson, renowned voiceover artist, mediavoiceovers.com. You can find him there. Please tell us all about our Mummy movie. Take it away, Wayne.
In a world saturated with overpopulation and climate change, our history seems lost. Unfortunately for all of us, one man might have just found it. Deep below a North African megalopolis, Rick O'Connell has stumbled across the sarcophagus of the Egyptian pharaoh known as Imhotep. A strange mix of curiosity, coincidence, and of course, poor decisions lead Rick to inadvertently reintroduce Imhotep's restless spirit back into our unsuspecting world. Enraged after being awakened from his ancient slumber, Imhotep sets off on a course to avenge his own tragic curse by targeting O'Connell and his family for extinction. As Imhotep grows stronger and his power begins to transform the country, threatening the lives of millions, it is left up to Rick himself to end the curse forever. Coming March 2017 to a tomb near you. Yeah. Universal Pictures invite you to yet another reimagining of their monster classic. Ian Somerhalder, Nathan Fillion, and Joe Manganiello join director Joel Edgerton on a thrilling ride determined to scarab you senseless. The Mummy.
Great job, Wayne. Yes.
Nice.
That's our movie. That is our movie. Our Mummy
nailed
is
it.
Probably going to take number 3 at least at the box office when it opens.
Let's go number 1.
I don't know. There's no Brendan Fraser. There's no Brendan Fraser. I would like a cameo. I would like a
That'd
Brendan Fraser
cool.
cameo. Do you guys kind of feel bad? I mean, he dropped off the planet after these movies, and I really liked him.
Was George of the Jungle before or after?
It was before.
Before. Yep, he was a goner after that.
Wow, he's still alive.
I know, but nobody else does because he's gone.
Wow. All right. Well, after we offended poor Brendan Fraser, I hope you're not listening.
My apologies.
Well, if he's
gone, I liked him.
I hope he has internet where he's at so he can hear this.
He's in the jungle.
If any of you, did you say he's in the jungle?
Living the life of Tarzan.
Don't do that.
She's like, I'm just going to keep driving it down this road till
sleep deprivation.
Keep insulting this wonderful actor known as Brendan Fraser. All right, guys, what do you think? Did we nail it, or do you think you could have a better pitch? Do you think we should have stuck with the adventuristic elements of the 1999 version? Do you think we should have gone way more horror? Different actors. Maybe you don't like the CW. Maybe you hate Nathan Fillion. Maybe you want to bring Wash into the mix, too, and just make it a whole Firefly reunion. Whatever it is, email us your pitch or your thoughts on this show to remakethismovieright@gmail.com. That's remakethismovieright@gmail.com. And we'll mention your pitch in the next teaser episode. That is our show. Please review us on iTunes. It really helps the show. Thumbs up on Stitcher if that's what you listen. Remember to visit Wayne Henderson at MediaVoiceOvers.com and also Packers Fan Podcast. He does a podcast if you're a Packer fan, which everyone should be, the way I understand it. That's going to do it. We do have a Remake This Movie Right group. Be sure to go sign up over there. Join the group there. Find us on Twitter at Remake Right. We can go to RemakeThisMovieRight.com. Brian Williams, thanks for being here, buddy.
Always my pleasure. Love this. Love doing this stuff.
Woohoo! And Amanda Sink, thank you for joining us. It's been an honor to have you, a lady on the show.
I love doing the podcast with you guys.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yay!
Yeah, that doesn't mean you get invited back.
I've gotten invited back a couple times now. I'm not doing too bad.
Just letting you know, as long as you keep the love at bay, you're welcome back. Because we like to keep that at bay. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Remake This Movie Right. And the next movie you watch, remember that it will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better.